Chapter 4, Cultivating Optimistic Vision, Pursuing Cause Over Comfort. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails. William Arthur Ward. Principle: to develop the brave habit, root yourself in a vision of a better possible future and cultivate optimism. It is impossible to pursue comfort and great work simultaneously. You can experience comfort while pursuing great work, but you cannot chase both at the same time. All of the easy things have been done, so the pursuit of worthwhile goals requires that you do the hard things that few others are willing to attempt. What fuels a willingness to continually step out of your comfort zone? A belief that your effort will be worth it. Optimism and passion. Martin Seligman is known by many as the father of the positive psychology movement. His research into learned helplessness, optimism, and agency are foundational to our modern understanding of how humans overcome adversity. According to Seligman, optimism is a linchpin ingredient for societal progress. Throughout human history, from the age of hunter-gatherer through the advent of agriculture, the Industrial Revolution, and the modern age of technological revolution, the key driver of progress has been a belief that a better future is possible. Optimists believe that challenging circumstances are temporary, not hopelessly permanent, local, as in not universal to their life, and changeable, as in they can do something now or in the future to make them better. On the other hand, those who default to learned helplessness tend to believe that circumstances are permanent, pervasive, and personal, meaning that they are due to the individual's unique lack of some valuable quality rather than being random. According to Seligman's research, optimists tend to try harder and become better or faster when under pressure. They also tend to be more innovative and creative than their less agency-minded peers when faced with adversity. Most surprisingly, they tend to be healthier over time, living on average 6 to 8 years longer than those who live with a mindset of learned helplessness. What this means is that developing an optimistic mindset is not only critical to your ability to develop the brave habit, but it also carries tremendous psychological and health benefits as well. According to Seligman, those who exist in the bottom quartile of optimism experience health effects that are equivalent to smoking 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes a day. So, if optimism is critical to the belief that we can create change in the world, how do we develop it? The key to optimistic vision. The most predictable driver of optimism is productive passion. This is an outcome that you care so deeply about that you are willing to suffer if necessary to achieve it. It is clean fuel. As Kierkegaard wrote, "Cowardice settles deep in our souls like the idle mists on stagnant waters. From it arise unhealthy vapors and deceiving phantoms. The thing that cowardice fears most is decision, for decision always scatters the mists, at least for a moment. Cowardice thus hides behind the thought it likes best of all, the crutch of time." In Die Empty, I wrote about what I call the passion fallacy. We toss around phrases like "follow your passion" as if it means simply pursuing things that you enjoy. On the surface, there's nothing wrong with this advice, except for the fact that we are fundamentally misusing the word passion. In its root form, the word passion comes from the Latin word passio, which means to endure or suffer. When we encourage someone to follow their passion, what we're really saying is, "follow your suffering." Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, huh? This fundamental twist of the common advice about passion is something that I can get fully behind because it's the foundation of brave action. When you tap deeply into a productive passion, it means that you are willing, if necessary, to suffer, if necessary, in order to achieve an outcome that matters more than your temporary discomfort. It doesn't mean that you necessarily will suffer, only that you're willing to do so in order to achieve your vision. If you are pursuing a worthy vision and you are driven by confident ambition, you will at times experience suffering, discomfort, failure in big ways and small ways. To continue to cultivate brave action, stay rooted in your productive passion. Understand the deeper why of your pursuit. When you have a clear vision of what matters deeply to you and of the person you want to be, that clarity cuts like a knife between bravery and cowardice. In moments of testing, your decision to do the right thing, even when it's uncomfortable, becomes more bearable. On December 20th, 1943, an American bomber, Ye Olde Pub, was severely damaged on its return from a bomb run over an aircraft factory in Bremen, Germany. After flak hit the plane, damaging it and forcing it to slow down and leave its formation, the B-17, piloted by 2nd Lieutenant Charlie Brown, was attacked by more than a dozen German fighters. The plane was so damaged that the crew discussed the possibility of simply ditching it in the nearest clearing and taking their chances in the German countryside. With one crew member dead and many severely injured, they decided to take their chances and attempt to fly the plane back to friendly airspace. Unfortunately for the crew, the damaged plane was spotted by German troops on the ground. A German pilot, Franz Stigler, was soon airborne to intercept the struggling B-17 and shoot it down. Stigler caught up to the plane and assumed the attack position. The American pilot, Brown, later indicated that he knew they were certain to be shot down by the German pilot. However, once Stigler got close enough to see the damage, he could tell that the crew posed no threat. And through holes in the fuselage, he could see the extent of the injuries on board. Stigler flew alongside the bomber and attempted to persuade them to land on a German airstrip and surrender. But Brown's crew couldn't understand his signals, opting to continue flying toward friendly airspace. In a surprising twist, Stigler flew close off the bomber's wing so as to prevent German guns from shooting the American plane down as it made its way to safety. Upon reaching safe territory, to the surprise of everyone on Ye Olde Pub, Stigler gave a salute to the American bomber crew and flew off. The crew was so surprised and skeptical of Stigler's motives that Brown instructed his gunner to continue to target Stigler's plane until he was out of sight. They navigated the plane safely to a British airfield, saving all of the crew but the one who had been killed in the initial attack. In the years after the incident, Charlie Brown would recall the story of the unexpected German escort to audiences at post-war events and offered that he wished he could someday have the chance to meet the other pilot. One day, he received a letter claiming to be from the German pilot, and after corroborating some of the lesser-known details of the events, he confirmed that Franz Stigler was indeed the pilot who had ensured the safe return of the bomber. The two remained close friends over the decades leading up to their deaths. When asked why he chose to protect the American bomber rather than shoot it down, Stigler echoed the words of an early commanding officer from when he was stationed in North Africa. The officer told him, "If I ever see or hear of you shooting at a man in a parachute, I will shoot you myself." Stigler said that the condition on Ye Olde Pub was no different than being in a parachute because the plane was completely defenseless. Years later, those words from his early commander still framed up how he viewed his role as a fighter pilot. In that moment, even though his current commanding officer sent him up with the expectations he would shoot the plane down, he chose to do what he thought was the right thing, regardless of the potential consequences he may face upon his return. His framework for making decisions had been cemented years before. Now, if it's possible for you to suspend your knowledge of which side each person was fighting for and also remove yourself from any judgment about the justifications of war or the weight of its atrocities, consider the following about the decision that Stigler made that day. His peers on the ground certainly knew that he had spotted the bomber and had taken off in his plane in order to chase it down. Anti-aircraft guns on the ground could almost certainly see that he, a German pilot, was escorting an American bomber so as to prevent it from being shot at. That was the entire reason he flew so close to the bomber to begin with. The year, 1943, was a critical year for both sides in the war, and any concession by either side could tilt the balance, at least psychologically. Stigler was going to have to return to his base and report that either A, he'd failed to shoot down a helpless, limping bomber, or B, that he'd let it go, which would likely lead to punishment. So weighing all of that, Stigler made a decision to do what he deemed right, follow the principle handed down by his former commanding officer, even in the face of personal cost. It certainly would have been much easier simply to shoot the bomber down and return to the accolades of his peers. But his decision speaks to the consideration of a higher ideal, something profoundly human and brave. In fact, when the American leaders heard the story of what had happened, they ordered that it be kept secret because they realized that they couldn't afford to humanize the enemy. If pilots thought that there were other human beings in the planes that they were targeting, they might think twice about doing their duty. At your personal testing point, everything that you truly believe will be revealed. That's the essence of faith. In your moment of testing, what will be revealed about what you truly believe? Not what you espouse because it's personally or politically beneficial to you, but the foundation of what you truly hold to be reality. This is why the habit of immersing yourself in your vision for a better possible future is so critical. Under pressure, it's tempting to do what's convenient, but if you spend enough time developing a sense of who you are, what you believe, and what you're working toward, the likelihood that you will do the right thing under pressure increases dramatically. Many people spend their life living out someone else's version of who they should be: coaches, teachers, parents, peers, managers, but never spend the time necessary to refine their personal vision. Because they lack a basic framework for what a better possible future might look like, they are making decisions based upon how they feel in the moment, or based upon what others think, or because of how it might make them appear in the eyes of people they so desperately want approval from. They spend their entire life living someone else's narrative, and while they may succeed in achieving the approval from others that they crave, they succeed their way into failure because they lose sight of who they are and what they care about. Yes, it is possible to succeed your way into failure. How? By achieving everything that's valuable to others and nothing that truly matters to you. By going along with whatever cultural narrative tells you to fly under the radar and live a comfortable life while avoiding anything that personally challenges you to grow, get outside of yourself, and take chances on activities that others might disapprove of. Here's a hard truth. Others may only disapprove of your acts of bravery because your actions force them to confront their own cowardice. When you choose to step up and follow your vision, you remind them of all the ways in which they are compromising their own values and principles, which generates resentment. When they hurl critiques at you, they have one finger pointed squarely in their own chest. So, the first step on the path to instilling a habit of bravery in your life is to become clear about what you value, why it matters to you, and how it should define your actions each and every day. Here are the core questions that frame up your optimistic vision of a better future. What is a primal belief that you hold even if others think it's crazy? What's your primary philosophy about how life works, what truly matters, and which kind of behavior is valuable in helping you align with your fundamental underlying worldview? For example, I believe that love is the ultimate superpower, or I believe that those who have abundance have a responsibility to those who are in need, or the strong should always protect the weak, etc. What moves you emotionally, even if others don't seem to notice? A key indicator of our vision for a better possible future is our emotional response to the world around us. For example, there are themes within certain moments that seem to form a kind of through line or pattern that point toward a deep primal way that you were wired. I often share with audiences I speak to about how I am profoundly moved by the stories of underdogs. Movies about people who overcome the odds and proved others around them wrong are my favorite genre. As a result, I am drawn to working with underdog companies or industries and helping them do their best, most brilliant work. In fact, when I encounter a situation in which something extra is required of me, it's much easier to summon the courage to act when I'm working with an organization I consider to be an underdog because I seem to have an extra well of energy I can tap into. This extra well of energy is closely tied to my vision of a better possible future in which people realize their potential regardless of their starting point. It also prompts me to step into a situation where I feel like an injustice is being committed to someone who is in a position of powerlessness. Now that I know this is a pattern, I see it everywhere in my life. It is a defining characteristic of much of my best work and many of my best moments as a human being. So, what is that for you? When are you moved emotionally, and how might that inform your vision of a better possible future? What are you unwilling to compromise on, no matter the cost? Have you ever worked with someone who had an unusual behavioral pattern that you just couldn't seem to understand? For example, everything had to be returned to its proper place at the end of a meeting, or agendas were always followed to the letter, or conflict always had to be resolved in a certain way, or certain people always had to be the first to know about changes? While it may have occasionally annoyed you, you had a kind of respect for the order that it instilled in the environment. While it's possible that some of these quirks may be incidental, it's also possible that they were indicators of a deeper underlying belief or principle that these people hold and find necessary in order to pursue their vision of a better possible future. For example, one principle that I always held dearly in a team context was to never talk about someone negatively when they weren't in the room. The net result was trust, but that wasn't why I followed it. It was just something core to my belief system. What is that for you? What set of principles are you unwilling to compromise, regardless of the personal cost? What values do you hold dear, even when it means others may look down on you or exclude you? Acting on productive passion. The belief in a better possible future doesn't imply that you have certainty about what the future holds. It's more like operating with a functioning compass than dialing up GPS directions. You know which direction you are going, but you may not be certain of how you'll get there. This is the distinction that causes many people to feel paralyzed. They exist in a state of what I call purpose paralysis. They won't move until they feel a deep certainty that they are doing the right thing. However, this runs opposite to the manner in which nearly every brave contributor has made their mark. They didn't wait until they were certain. Rather, they had a clear sense of where they were headed, then took small steps in the direction of their vision, even when they weren't sure of their actions or that their actions were the right ones. As my friend Brian likes to say, fear is often the smell of opportunity. It's the places that we are most afraid to go that we know we most definitely should go, but are overcome by fear of getting it wrong. It's likely that your compass is already pointing you toward a magnetic North Pole, but you may not be paying attention to the clues. You suspect that you should act, but you are waiting for the GPS coordinates to kick in and turn-by-turn directions to appear. They aren't coming. Instead, when you find yourself in this situation, ask the following. What is the very next thing I could do to move me toward my vision? What is the immediate hurdle that I sense or am experiencing that is preventing me from acting? What can I do to mitigate its effects? What am I most afraid to do right now, and what might that say about what I definitely should do? Where am I catastrophizing or overemphasizing the potential risks of action? Gaining clarity about the obstacles that may be standing in your way, especially previously unconsidered ones, can help you cultivate the courage to take small steps in the direction you know you must move. However, you can't afford to wait for certainty. It's not coming. You uncover clarity through action, not paralyzed thought. Take small steps in the direction you suspect you should go, and clarity will emerge over time like a photo in a dark room. Asking brave questions. Brave people ask brave questions. The difference between a brave question and a common question is this. A brave question is one that you don't necessarily want the answer to. Brave questions can reveal uncomfortable truths or create accountability to act in ways you'd rather not. It might make you uncomfortable. It might make you take a risk. It might require you to be the bigger person or to have the conversation or share the idea or speak truth to power. It's easier not to ask brave questions than to live with the consequences of having done so. But here's a truth I've experienced many times over. People are defined by the quality and courage of their questions. Those who are willing to ask brave questions often get closer to the truth faster if they are willing to act upon what they learn. Here are examples of brave questions. Is this true, or do I just want it to be true? If it's not true, is it possible to make it true? How do I need to improve as a leader, creator, employee, human being? What do I suspect but am afraid to admit? What if it was my fault? What if it wasn't my fault? What would I do if I wasn't afraid? What am I willing to sacrifice in order to see it happen? How can I make it right? What if that's a false assumption? Should I step up and lead? Should I step down and let someone else take charge? Is this confidence or ego speaking? Who can I ask for help? What kind of person, leader, team member do I want to be? It's likely at least a few of these questions immediately resonated. Because life is often frenetic and filled with stimulus, we don't pause long enough to understand what's really going on in our minds, the deeper patterns, the worries, the suspicions, and areas of curiosity, and therefore we struggle to get to the base truths that are defining our everyday perspective of the world. When we encounter or ask a brave question, it often jars us out of our thought rut and forces us to confront a potential truth we'd rather not entertain. What are your brave questions? Maybe a few are ones I just mentioned, but also maybe there are others that you know you need to ask, but know that doing so will force you out of your comfort zone. Take 10 minutes right now, quietly, and consider the deeper, braver questions that you've been ignoring because they might reveal an inconvenient truth. Write them down on a piece of paper or in a place where you'll see them often. Taking a few minutes to consider the brave questions lurking just beneath the surface is a fantastic way to discover what's actually on your mind, and also to counter the fear-mongering narratives that prevent you from taking action on your ambitions. Agency fuels confidence. Optimism fuels progress. And productive passion fuels optimism. As you develop your sense of agency and your vision of a better possible future, you will be positioned to act bravely when it counts. Over the next several chapters, we will apply these principles to how you work, collaborate, lead, and live. Checkpoint. Developing a clear sense of vision for the future and cultivating optimism is critical to your ability to develop the brave habit. Here are a few questions to consider. 1. What primal belief about the future drives you even when others believe you're crazy? 2. What core principles are you unwilling to compromise even when it gets uncomfortable or costs you something? 3. Where in your life are you stalled because you lack a vision in the face of uncertainty? How could you clarify that vision? Action step. Think about an important decision you are facing. How can you filter that decision through your productive passion in order to gain clarity? What is your vision of a better possible future?